You're listening to Potential Cast Season 3, Episode 19, Choices. The mayor imprisons Willow after Buffy and Angel steal a box containing demonic energy, which the mayor needs for his ascension day. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
Oh, am I to introduce myself?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm David.
Don't you listen,
David. Okay.
Welcome, David.
I have been listening to Battleship Pretension for like years, every week.
Oh, thank you.
So, like, how long has it been going? Like 4 years?
It was 4 years in March, so I guess 4 years and 5 months or so.
Yeah. Wow, so I've been listening for over 3 years,
amazing.
Probably.
Well, we appreciate it.
And now that you do, previously on, I listen to it every week, so I listen to about 3 or 4 hours of David Bax a week.
Nice. I don't even know if my girlfriend listens to me. I talk at her at least that much. I'm just not sure.
Tell me about it.
All right. So I know you told me thank you so much for coming by and meeting me and Illyrio at Comic Con.
Oh, it was so much fun.
How was Comic Con?
Comic Con was awesome. But Comic-Con. The place we picked to do karaoke was just the worst place you would ever want to go. Don't ever go to Whiskey Girl. They're awful.
Okay. Well, Comic-Con started out a little wobbly, but it ended up being wonderful.
That's good.
What do you think, David?
I had a really good time. This is the first time I ever went to Comic-Con, like, alone. My girlfriend didn't come down with me, and Tyler didn't come down with me, so I was basically there with the... Yeah, I have obviously friends that I know go every year, and then other film like podcasters and bloggers. So I ended up I was nervous going down there, thinking I was gonna be spending a lot of time alone, but ended up finding something to do pretty much the whole time.
Oh yeah, there's so, friends everywhere you turn.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so tell everybody how you got into Buffy.
Without spoiling us.
Yeah.
Feel free to tell us if you liked stuff.
What's that?
Feel free to tell us if you liked an episode.
Okay. I was never a big TV guy. Like, even like as a kid, I would watch comedy stuff, but I didn't like watch shows every week because I was kind of a snob and liked movies. And then I went off to college my freshman year and lived in the dorms, and you know, I was kind of broke, and because I was a smoker, I met the other kids in my dorm. I guess, I don't know if they're kids, whatever you call 18-year-olds, who were smokers, including a couple of guys who were roommates who were big TV nerds, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And they would get together every Tuesday to watch Buffy and Angel. And I didn't have any money or anything to do, so I joined them it would have been at the beginning of season 5 of Buffy, season 2 of Angel. And I fell in love with it right away, and this coincided with about the time that the DVDs were coming out. So I sort of caught up. I watched the show kind of, I was watching like two sort of strains at once, seasons 5, 6, and 7 on TV, and then seasons 1 through 4 on DVD.
Nice.
And since I've rewatched it, a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into Buffy. It's my favorite show of all time.
Cool.
Very cool.
Okay, so choices.
Choices. Nice knife. sorry. That's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's a knife.
It smells
really
good.
Glad you guys had me on for choices and the prom, because I back when you guys had started, Steph had talked to me about being on for Restless because it's my favorite episode, which is the season 4 finale. And I started listening to your guys' podcast, and I think I like emailed or Twittered Steph, and I was like, "Hey, I want to do Restless, but if you want to have me on for anything else, I'd love to do it." And I was very happy that Steph picked these two episodes because these are two of my favorites.
Cool.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Yeah, it was about a year ago you had said that Tyler was on some podcast, and you were like, I wish somebody would invite me to be on their podcast. So it's finally rolled around a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're harder to get into than rent-controlled housing in New York City.
All right, feedback.
Yes. Le feedback, as one would say.
And where would one say that?
Anywhere around, you know, around here. You know. Okay, so right. We have some user feedback, as another podcast would say. And let's go with Nikki's email on choices. Nikki writes, Gax, all I can say is, Willow, think back to our awkward season one, Will, and you can see how far she's come. Her development this season has been great. I love her more every episode. Now we really are seeing her growing into her own, willing to stand up to Faith and even dusting a vamp herself. Go, Willow! Yours truly, Nikki Faith.
Aw.
Willow was awesome in this episode.
It was nice meeting Nikki for real life in San Diego at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I met her in the bathroom.
Oh, nice. I met her outside in the heat, surrounded by Buffy fans, so I had to, like, earmuffs all the time.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it just like a few episodes ago that Willow couldn't control her emotions and control mm-hmm. the pencil?
Yeah, so
that was That was a really nice way of showing how far Willow's come.
Mm-hmm.
So, who wants to read the email from Richard Williams?
Okay. Hello, Potential Cast. Choices is a solid arc episode that is chock full of great character moments. The mayor's relationship with Faith continues to develop. Oz smashes the urn with which Wesley wanted to destroy the box of Gavrok. Willow kills a vampire by floating a pencil through it. Angel is reminded of just how fundamentally problematic his relationship with Buffy is. Willow lashes out at Faith. Willow retrieves what she believes to be the most relevant pages of the Books of Ascension from the mayor's office. Willow reaffirms her commitment to the good fight. I'm sensing a pattern here. Yes, this is a great episode for Willow. And since I love Willow, this sits well with me. In terms of arc significance, Choices brings the Scoobies into direct conflict with the mayor for the first time. I sort of wish the Scoobies had at least tried to find a way to both hold the box of Gavrok and get Willow back, but I certainly understand why Buffy would be less than willing to consider a plan that could possibly end in Willow's death. Remember, this episode comes shortly after Doppelgangland, in which she briefly thought Willow had actually died. Mm-hmm. All in all, this is a fun episode that focuses on one of my favorite characters, but fails to really blow me away at any point. I give it an 8.5 out of 10. Looking forward to your next podcast, Richard Williams.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Yep, solid. That's what I would call it, too.
Solid?
Yeah.
Solid.
As a rock?
Solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock.
One more email here, and it's from Shelley.
Shelley.
It was awesome meeting Shelley.
Oh, it was so nice talking to Shelley.
IRL, as the kids say.
I love that picture of
Shelley.
Oh, it was so cute.
Stephanie. And me. It was great. Desiree complained she wasn't in the picture. She was taking the picture. Hi, Gaxy Ones and Guesty One. Love the title of this episode. Kind of reminds me of Lie to Me, where you can go through the episode and count all the lies. Every single character here either makes a choice, i.e. Willow going to UC as a or has choice taken away. Don't worry, Kim, we'll get to that.
Yes.
Or has choice taken away from them. Poor, pathetic Wesley. Love the way an uncharacteristic angry Oz makes a choice.
Oh, I love that.
Him.
I love that.
I could go on and on. Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
All right. Let's do some...
What about part two of her Part two?
Yes.
Ah. Oh, what?
Part two. Sorry about that. Sent too soon by accident. Oh, sorry. By accident. My favorite part of this episode is the mayor's speech to Buffy and Angel. Evil he may be, but he speaks the truth so eloquently. Notice the Buffy Angel theme as he was talking? Uh-huh. They didn't even play that during the scenes with only Buffy and Angel. This whole season has been about maturing, and inherent in that process is the need to make difficult choices. So, Gak must be getting very difficult to watch only one or two episodes ahead.
Can't
believe season three. Can't believe season three is coming to an end. By the way, loved your Happyland episode. It was great to meet Stephanie, Illyria, Christine, and Desiree in person. Hope there will be another meetup sometime. Love you guys. Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
Awesome.
I want to say, like, yeah. You had the one email talking about what a strong Willow episode this was, but part of the reason I like this episode so much is because of what a strong episode it is for the mayor, you know, you know, as a device as he's used there, but also just as a character, and he gets a couple of longer speeches that are always, it's always fun to spend 90 seconds in the mayor's head because he's got such a delightful way of turning a phrase.
I was a bit confused by that scene with the mayor because I don't know if I made it up, but I thought like the mayor and Principal Snyder were sort of in cahoots about stuff, and it's just, I don't know, it seemed weird. But when he saw him, he was like, oh, the mayor's here. Oh, it's weird. Anyway.
I think my understanding would be, sorry to cut you off, Steph.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I think the Snyder is like, because he's in somewhat of a position of authority, he has some idea of the supernatural type stuff that goes on in Sunnydale.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get the idea that he's sort of like the guy who really wants to sit at the cool kids table at lunch,
yeah.
You know, and the mayor is the cool kid. And so he doesn't always keep him in the loop.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's my impression.
That does make sense. I get the impression that Snyder is like indirectly under the mayor. Like the mayor talks to the police chief and the police chief talks to Snyder or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
On the Facebook group, Sarah McLeod says, choices, Buffy jumping on Willow when she finds out she's staying in Sunnydale is one of the cutest things ever. The standoff with the mayor is awesome, especially his criticism of the Buffy-Angel relationship. And, of course, stupid Snyder making things 100 times worse. John DeGrand says he loves this episode. Those of you wanting to see the mayor get a really big role in an episode certainly get your wish here. There are replicas of Faith's knife on eBay from time to time, and I really want one. Willow is absolutely brilliant here, from her showdown with Faith to her handing the pages to Giles to her telling Buffy that she will be attending UC Sunnydale. Christine Stefanski, one, did any Chuck fans out there notice that Cordelia's boss at the dress shop is General Beckman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's who that was. Although I'm not a Chuck fan.
Number two, a Chuck fan.
How creepy is it when Faith smells her new people carving gift from the mayor? Dahmer, party of one. Number three. Who else thinks Snyder soiled himself when the mayor stepped out of the shadows at the clandestine meeting? I think he did soil himself. I think that's why he was carrying the chair.
Sorry, soiling the chair, yeah.
Number four, I'm curious what the potentials think of the relationship between Faith and the mayor. I think he truly loves her like a daughter.
I don't.
Faith realizes in this episode that he's the only person who's ever truly been there for her. Single tear.
He's going to throw her out with the trash next week. I just have a feeling. Or when graduation day. He's only using her to get what he wants. He doesn't give a crap about Faith. That's just what I believe. I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Horn mentions Willow's first really successful spell, ignoring this whole one last season. Using a pencil to kill the vampire. I adore how simple and effectively genius this is. Also love the Faith-Willow interactions. So you think Faith's going to get tossed, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would venture to guess that that's most probably what's going to happen as well.
And then she's going to realize the error of her ways and be like, Buffy, I should have listened to you. And then she dies.
Oh, I hope she dies really soon. I can't stand her. Robin, that's one. That one's especially for you.
Can I interject here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I know what happens with Faith, but I'm going to... The part of the fun of listening to your show and talking about it is pretending that I don't. I don't know that I would have had that same prediction about Faith, because I think one of the things that makes the Mayor one of the best villains in TV history, or really, I think, pop culture and literature history at all, in my opinion. Did I mention this is my favorite show of all time?
Yeah.
yes.
One of the things that makes him so great is that he is genuine.
Yeah, he's very sincere.
Yeah, even when he talks about, you know, I think he actually does care about the city of Sunnydale and take his job as mayor seriously. And I think that that's the conflict with him, is that he wants to obviously ascend and everything, but you know, there's a contradiction on our end between that and the fact that he also is sincere about everything else he says and all this wholesomeness. But what makes him fun is that he doesn't see that contradiction.
Hmm.
So
I didn't pick up on that.
That's just my feeling watching it. So I don't know that you can necessarily predict that he's going to toss Faith aside, because I think he really does care about her.
Hmm.
He's not a user.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, why do you think Faith has turned out the way she is? Do you think Buffy and the Scoobies have any responsibility?
That's interesting. I mean, obviously, she's had other things in her past, you know.
Not having a watcher for very long.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that what happened with her watcher, you know, her watcher not being there anymore, probably was part of a pattern. I think most of the guardian figures in her life have probably abandoned her in one way or another. At some point. And, so maybe the Scoobies didn't, have a lot of, perspective on that and wanted her to fit into their sort of pre-existing, moral rubric. But I'd say Faith also overreacted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
A couple more bits of feedback from the Facebook group, and then I think we can listen to Ren Mike's voicemail. Tara and Elena Miller. Love choices. I think Wesley's desire to leave Willow behind for the greater good says a lot about his character. I love how Oz is so calm in this conversation and gets up and throws the cauldron across the room. That was the perfect way for him to express himself.
Yes.
I believe Val Pass says, I hate creepy crawly things, and those things that came out of the box of Gavrok gave me the Wiggins. Did you guys feel bad for Cordy at the end? And did you guess she was working at that shop before the reveal? I didn't like how nasty she got with those remarks, especially to Buffy. I don't know, that pencil Willow used to kill the vamp didn't look like it was stuck in far enough to kill him, unless he died of lead poisoning. I must say, I had the exact same thought. I'm not into knives, but Faith's knife was pretty cool looking. I hope someone uses Snyder's last line as one of their favorite quotes. Awesome. So let's all listen to Michael David's voice memo. So if we can get that queued up, that would be great. Michael says, Dear God, do not listen to this if you have not seen Choices, and for Pete's sake, have someone screen this to be sure I haven't spoiled you about any minute detail. I would never forgive myself if I spoiled you, any of you, in any way about any detail or preference. I mean, what if you found out that, oops, not going there?
Hello, potential cats.
What's up? It's Mike. I had some comments on Choices. First of all, Cordelia, straight up Bicca in this episode. We kind of get a glimpse as to why at the end. But she was super angry and mean. And unordinarily mean, actually. So that wasn't nice of her. We get more of Mare and Faith, which is nice. The knife. That's a serious knife. But, so the box with the whatever those things were, I don't know, giant beetles or whatever they were. Did that thing weigh like 3 ounces or something? Because they were tossing that thing around like it weighed nothing. Angel, Buffy, everybody who grabbed it, like nearly threw the thing up in the air. It was so light. It was like it was had helium inside of it. But, and then we see, Willow breaks out some magic and pencils the one vamp, which was nice, and then breaks out some red overalls to end the episode. So I enjoyed Choices. I enjoyed how the season ramps up at this point and the tension and stuff like that. And I love how the mayor basically called out Angel for how he's holding Buffy back socially. Because really, she should be dating a nice young man, not a 243-year-old creeper who's been stalking her since she was 15. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. I just find that a little odd. Anyway, I love the show. It was nice seeing Illyrio and Stephanie in San Diego. We had a nice run together. It was awesome.
That was nice.
And that's all I got. I'm out. I'm at work for the first time in 2 weeks. So, late, everyone.
Bye, Mike, and keep on breathing. Keep on breathing. Poor guy nearly dies of pneumonia going to Comic-Con. No. Unacceptable. All right, well, that was feedback for today. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's.
The mayor and Faith, that kind of gift kind of thing was weird, and he gets so annoyed when she puts her feet up. It's like, I love this guy, but I don't want him to have any success, you know.
But yeah, he is fun to listen to.
Awesome.
I love the his comparison to the Toll House cookies. You know what would Toll House cookies be without a pretty Rock darn big chips. Disappointment? like I said, I love his the way he turns a phrase.
Yeah. Why do things have to come from Central America by private plane with a tattooed man handcuffed to the box?
When that dude came out of the airplane, I thought it was going to be one of the Gorch brothers that's still alive. And I was like, oh, big tattooed guy.
The guy reminded me of Starburns.
Yes.
Who was staying on our floor?
Really?
At the Hyatt. Yeah, I shared an elevator ride with him, and I finally placed him once the ride was over.
Did he have Starburns?
No, I believe those are painted on.
That's why.
Yes. It was totally him.
Can I tell y'all my favorite moment of this episode?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When Buffy has found out that she got accepted into Northwestern, and she goes to school, and she's in the library, and she tells Giles that she was accepted to Northwestern, and that look on Giles' face, he's so happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
It, for a second, he forgets that she's the Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so proud, and it makes me...
Makes you tear up.
Makes me tear up.
Oh, no.
Angel the Vampire Slayer?
What?
He's a Vampire Slayer.
Vampire Slayer. Oh, he slayed a vampire?
Yeah. He's slaying vampires. And he's a vampire. So he's a Vampire Vampire Slayer. I don't know. It's weird. I hope that's not what his show's about, because that's going to be a little bit weird. Hopefully he's out solving mysteries like Matlock. Does he always wear the same outfit in all the episodes of Angel, or is that a spoiler?
What's that?
Does Angel wear the same clothes in every episode of Angel, or is that a spoiler?
He keeps to the same color palette.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of the same. He wears the same style and the same colors as he's wore previously on.
So black, red, purple.
Nice.
Well, if I can give a little tease, not a spoiler, there is an episode in the first season where he wears a Hawaiian shirt.
What?
What?
That's Willie's territory, though. Is he pretending to be Willie? No, don't answer that.
But all the vampires that we've seen so far, or most of them, they've all had that 70s look, where they have like the collar pulled out on top of the leather jackets that they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little hint for us to think that they're vampires. Anyways. Well,
So was the 70s like the golden age of vampires?
Well, I also think around that time, the 70s was sort of making a comeback with fashion. Mm-hmm. Just around that time, because I remember guys wore like collared shirts and they were open all the time. It was so ugly. But yeah.
I imagine the 70s, there was some sort of like vampire equivalent of like swinging and key parties. And so there was just, like, vampires being made left and right.
Probably. Can I get some geographic confirmation? Where is Northwestern University?
Chicago.
Evanston, Illinois, just outside Chicago.
How awful a university must it be that they themselves don't know that they are not in the Northwest?
Maybe it's the Northwest of the state?
Then that's the world's stupidest name for a university ever. Ever.
No, it was my understanding, and I can't remember. I lived in Chicago, but like I think at some point before like the Louisiana Purchase, like up there by Lake Michigan would have been the northwestern part of, you know, the U.S. Or at least of that of that chunk of it. And I think that Northwestern was, they built a college out of what was actually a military fort.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called like the Northwestern something. I used to know when I lived in Chicago the history of why it's called Northwestern. It has something to do with that.
All right. I just thought maybe they were dumb, or very, you know, egocentric. No one is as Northwestern as we are.
Well, I love how the Scoobies, everybody, they're all on the same page, and Wesley is on some completely different book.
He's a stupid head, I reiterate.
I think if Cordelia was the one that they had captured, he would have done anything to get her.
Yes.
I concur.
Yeah. But he's not attracted to Willow, the character, even though they're married in real life. But,
but I'm sure that happened later.
Yeah.
Earlier in our podcasting adventure that is Potential Cast, Willow pronounced "Hi Jinx" in the following manner. "Hi Jinx." And I went on a rant. Now, I'm not going to go into a very long rant today, but it's kibosh, not kibosh. Kibosh. Sarah Michelle Gellar. Kibosh. Kibosh. No. No.
Okay.
Okay.
End of rant.
Sweet. I wrote in my notes here, "Oh, great, Buffy got accepted to all these schools. I hope she doesn't pick Sunnydale College or Sunnydale University."
You mean Buffy or Willow?
Buffy.
Yeah.
And then I wrote dot, 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 "I hope Willow doesn't go there, too."
Well, you know they have to.
I know they do for the show.
They have to.
And I did like that little scene with them at the end. I thought it was really genuine of, like, two girls giggling about, "Oh my god, I can't believe we're going to the same school next year," you know? I'm like, I thought it was super cute.
Ugh, I hated that. I hated that so much.
I think Gabby's fantasy is that sooner rather than later, something happens and Willow tries to kill Buffy. I think that will make Gabby very happy.
No.
No?
Okay. Maybe. Well, first I thought she was in love with her, if anybody remembers that.
Yes. I do remember that.
Yes.
Hot.
so hot. Yeah, and
so illegally hot.
Okay, maybe you're right. Moving on.
Okay, Xander, Kerouac.
Ugh.
Bohemian, no thank you.
No, I'm sorry. How weird is the staging in that scene? Like, they're all sitting around the table, and then Xander is, like, 15 yards away. And, like, carrying on a conversation. It's like, get up, and there's more room at the bench. Just go sit there.
The only thing that would have made that better is if he had no shoes on.
Or sandals.
Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks with socks. The fleece kind, fish heads wear.
I had this professor at CGIP, which is a pre-university thing we do up here. He wore wool socks, Birkenstocks, and he rolled his own cigarettes.
Nice.
He was awesome.
The coolest teacher ever.
Yeah. Oh, Cordy said Teabag Central. I'm 12 years old.
I totally giggled like I was 12.
Did you guys think that she might be working at the store?
No.
I did.
I didn't.
Oh, I didn't.
I did.
The only reason why I didn't is because when she was showing Xander all her acceptance letters, her purse was right there. Wouldn't it be at the back, like, where the employee stuff is? That's why I didn't pick up on it the first time. Mm. I just thought she was shopping.
And those look like rejection letters. Aren't acceptance letters, like, don't they come with big, thick packages? Big envelopes?
I think so.
That's the theory.
My acceptance letter to university was a one sheet paper saying, oh, yes, you're accepted and your package
really?
Will be coming later.
I was sent a harp player.
What?
Well, that's what happens when you go to a good university.
Excuse me. And she played as you opened the envelope.
Where's my...
The one thing that I did like about this episode is that Buffy was, like, proactive for once. She actually wanted to go and get this whole thing with the mayor over and done with. Like, why wait for graduation day? Like, let's go do it now.
She's like, I'm tired of being Deep Space Nine. Fuck this. I want to be Next Generation. Deep Space Nine is where they just sat in the space station waiting for adventures to come to them.
Oh, okay.
And Next Generation, you're there with Riker and Picard and goddamn Wesley Crusher. And you're flying through space and you're violating the Prime Directive left, right. And
nerd alert. Okay. I gotta melt myself. But I did like that she was proactive. I'll give her that.
But yeah, it in true Buffy fashion, she was proactive for selfish reasons.
Yeah, because she wanted to go to the prom. That was really annoying at the beginning of the episode when her and Angel are patrolling, and she's like, you never take me anywhere.
Okay. We're in a rut.
You could see the little twinkle in his eye of, oh God, what a...
Exactly. He was... She was that... She became that girl.
Yeah. Can I go straight to what the fuck was going on with Faith's top?
When?
When she shot the guy with the arrow and her boobs are like giant balls of gel wanting to leap out of her bustier.
Sorry, I didn't notice.
I think you're getting Robin hot.
I always get Robin hot. But seriously, that was weird.
I didn't notice.
You did not notice that?
No.
I didn't even notice.
I
didn't
notice. You in
I don't want you to be out there alone, Illyrio. I definitely noticed.
Yeah. Was it off-putting to you?
I wouldn't file
it
under a complaint, though.
See, I would. I would, because that's... She's never worn that top before. All of a sudden, she's wearing it out to shoot some guy. And what's... She gets this brand new knife. She shoots the guy with an arrow.
Because she was too far away to stab him.
She has to be, yeah, she has to be
she
from a...
She throw the knife.
A distance.
Don't slayers do the knife-throwing thing?
She threw a knife through that spider thing.
Spider thingy. But I think it was her first night. She didn't want to ruin it the first night.
Yeah, she was saving it.
She was saving it.
Nice. Yeah, but then she loses it.
Does she get it back?
Well, not in this episode. I'm not going to spoil whether or not she gets it back. Okay. But
they do.
Yeah, that was an important little moment.
Right, they do show that the knife is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I cannot believe that my child's best friend has not made because my child's best friend has made us River Tam weapons. She's made us stakes. She's made us bow tie and fez earrings.
Nice.
I cannot believe that she has not made a faith knife. I'm going to commission one just as soon as we can.
Was it just me or did Faith like sniff the knife? That was so bizarre to me. Like, why the hell is she sniffing the knife?
I think she was just trying to take it, like get a good look at the lines of it.
Oh.
I have no idea.
That was so weird. I'm like, what is she doing? How is she handling that thing?
Yeah, I wonder if it was in the script or if that was just an actor impulse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Whatever, it was weird.
So they're coming up with a plan, and Wesley, the stupid face, says... okay, I'll stop saying that. So stupid face says, have you thought that perhaps the mayor has protected the box with some magic?
Jesus.
Harry Potter! And they say, yeah, we could just, you know. And then Willow says, yeah, down and dirty black magic. Yeah. Now,
I was distracted by her crushed velvet dress with the crazy pattern on the front.
I was very distracted by that upon first viewing. But upon second viewing, I focused more on what the people were saying.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think we're getting shoved. I think this is foreshadowing. I think she's going to go. I think she's turning heel. I think Willow will turn heel.
She'll be like a badass now.
She's going to be a badass, and she's going to be like, ain't nobody mess with me, because I'm Willow.
Well, I guess so. I agree with that. She'll still have her Willow-isms, I'm sure, but she's not scared anymore, like we saw.
Yeah, this is true.
I think if any one of us lived in Sunnydale, and you're just so tired of these demons and stuff, you'd get like, oh, really? Another one? Ah. Oh. And you're like, I got this. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You just get into the rhythm of it, and then once you're comfortable doing stuff, you're like, I'm gonna get this. You get confidence.
That's a good point. Anybody living on the Hellmouth would grow and become a stronger person.
Yeah, I think if you had to deal with it every single day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also become more glib about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just every day for them.
Yeah. Am I the only one that was disappointed that they did not synchronize watches? That's totally something I would do.
I was more upset that they didn't synchronize swatches.
Oh. It was the late 90s.
That's very Parker Lewis can't lose.
Thank you.
This is 99 though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This might be a little past swatch time.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
That was more
fossil.
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 When Faith turned and looked at her knife after she had stabbed the scarab or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was having second
that's
thoughts.
That's what I wrote down. Faith looks unsure of her allegiance.
But that wasn't it. She didn't want to leave the knife.
That's all I got out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that at all.
I just thought she didn't want to lose her new gift. New present.
Wesley wants to sacrifice Willow. Oz makes the decision for him. So let's talk about that. Oz,
Oz says it all with no words.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing.
That was some pretty awesome stuff. But I especially liked earlier when they had the little instructions from on how to put stuff together, and there were little diagrams, and the stick figures, one of them had a guitar. That's great.
Oh, it wouldn't have been the shorter one.
See, that's what I would think too. Aww. But Will is probably too nice and drew them at the same time.
She knows what hurt his feelings. Werewolf feelings.
The big meeting up. The big meetup. The big confrontation.
The
exchange.
In the dark.
As soon as the mayor starts talking to Angel and Buffy about how they are so wrong for each other, I'm like, you tell them!
Loved it!
Tell them!
Awesome!
And he knows. And he's right.
Because he's been there.
Dare you? Dare you subject this beautiful blossoming flower to just settle for a dead man who can never give it her what she wants or what she needs? And it was just awesome.
I think it's a lesson I was saying about the mayor earlier in the episode, that speech has weight because we know, or at least if you agree with me, we know that he's not just saying that to get into their skin or manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor doesn't say things he doesn't mean, in my opinion. My summation of the character is that he's always sincere, and so that's why that speech means so much, because evil or not, you're putting it in the mouth of a character who has never said anything he didn't mean.
Uh-huh. I see that, but not to like, I've never felt that from the mayor. I think more what he was saying is just like, everything he says is very frank and matter of fact. I don't think he was trying to like spare anyone's feelings or anything, but I do see what you're saying. But I thought he was just telling them, I was like, look, this is how it is. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. It's going to suck. And what you're doing to her is not fair, because she should be living a normal life.
But do you
I
think
can never have a normal life?
I guess what I'm trying to get at, though, do you think he's doing that to undercut their confidence as a foe? Or do you think that he is just doing that because he thinks it's true and thinks it's worth saying? Because I think it's the latter. That's what makes it more powerful.
It could be both. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Gabby?
Oh, no. I was saying, I agree with that it would be the latter. I mean, it's the same thing where at the beginning, we're like, oh, and, you know, drinking the milk and that kind of stuff. He genuinely seems to care for everybody? But it's very strange in a very wholesome 1950s dad kind of way.
1850s. So he plants the seeds of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there will be further development of this.
Yeah. All I wrote was the mayor has major foreshadowing for Buffy and Angel's breakup.
All I wrote was, close the box! Idiots.
What's in the box?
Apparently, what was it, 20 billion?
It's 50 billion.
50 billion? Holy crap. Yeah. That's some pretty serious, scary stuff. So, I don't know what that's for. Why he needs it for his ascension. But clearly, those things are going to eat your face.
Yes.
Or worse.
The first time I watched it, I had to stop and go back because I swear to God, I thought they said the box of Ad-Rock. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. And I was thinking about the Beastie Boys, and it was very strange to me. And then I realized I was hearing it wrong. Whatever, what are you going to do? Snyder.
Snyder's such an idiot.
He's obsessed with drugs.
He is.
All of a sudden, he's like totally obsessed with drug deals.
I love how he thinks lunch is drug lingo. That was awesome.
I think he's always been obsessed with drugs. Gangs on PCP? Come on.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh, gas leaks.
My favorite was still the scavenger hunt. Okay. Can we talk about the pages?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. She's escaped. She's dusted a vamp with a floating pencil trick. Instead of running away, she stops to read.
That's so Willow.
And I watched this very carefully, and I know it's SOD and all that stuff, but there's no way she stuck pages. She opened the book, she started reading, she wasn't there for 2 minutes, and Faith shows up.
How do you know?
See,
there's a time lapse between pulling the books out and sitting there reading them.
Yeah, she's had all the books open in front of her.
Yeah.
Never mind.
To me, I think she read a lot more and retained a lot more than she's leading on to. That's the feeling I get.
If she can float a pencil, couldn't she float the books out of the room with her?
Whoa. Are you proposing that they take something that works in one scenario and make it work in a completely different other scenario that's not at all related? I think that violates some kind of unwritten code.
I think so.
Okay, so I'm an idiot. She clearly had more time with them than I thought.
Yeah. I think I'm done with my
thoughts. I have one more thing. Why would you go to UC Sunnydale when you got accepted into Oxnard? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it is kind of sad that Willow has so much potential and she's going to stay there.
Is that why we're called Potential Cast? Is that the thing? Is that the secret? Do we know now?
Yes, you know that.
Hey. So much potential.
Oh, God.
If I can play the apologist fan for a second, because I do kind of agree, it sucks that contrived reasons.
If you say she can create her own curriculum.
What's that?
If you say she can create her own curriculum.
No, she talks about how she is interested in growing her Wiccan powers and what put a better place to do it than there at the Hellmouth.
Sure.
And that kind of makes sense a little bit.
Yes.
You know, it goes a way toward making up for the contrivance.
Yeah, that bit that she added was the only redeeming point. I'm like, okay, fine, sure.
But
you want to be a better witch.
Full of witches and stuff and Stonehenges and swords and stones and all kinds of stuff like that?
She's got to stay on the show.
Ah, okay.
I think she means, you know, there's a Hellmouth in Sunnydale.
Mm-hmm.
And
she'll get a lot of practical practice.
Yeah, she will be challenged.
I bet you there's a Hellmouth under Wembley Stadium.
That's the kind of crap you do when your boyfriend goes to a local school and you could go somewhere else. That's all I'm saying.
Boyfriend. Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah, Willow wants to be a hero, basically.
Yeah.
And at the end, Buffy and Angel trying to justify ignoring the mayor's advice was really priceless. Oh, you kids, you. Just wait till it sinks in.
The Slayer's in denial.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I have.
That's all I have. Anybody else?
Nope.
Let's rate the episode.
Okay. Can I start?
Go ahead.
As I said, this is my favorite, so I give it 5 out of 5 volumes of the Books of Ascension.
Nice. Excellent. I see what you did there.
Just there, 5 volumes. I got
yes.
Well, I say this is a solid episode, like one of the emailers said. I give it 9 out of 10 college letters of acceptance.
Well, I like this episode. I didn't love it. The first time I watched it, I was, this is going to suck to rewatch. But then when I rewatched it, it was 10 times better. So I will give it a 7.5 out of 10 creepy crawly spiders.
Mm-hmm. Get it?
I loved that Willow told Faith, that horrible, horrible Faith, that she wasn't afraid of her. So that was awesome. Plus, Willow and Buffy are members of Team Caffeine.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. So just so right there, I'm, I don't know, it was a rather enjoyable episode. I can't really pick on it very much. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Toll House cookies.
Nice. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, even the bits with Faith in it. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 horrible decisions for your future.
Horrible choices.
No, I specifically chose to avoid that word. What do you take me for, Kim? A cliche?
Yes.
That's what we thought. You can tell us what you think. You can call us 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email.
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
You can join our Facebook group. We have, close to 230 members now?
Yeah.
Damn.
Who are these people? We have a website, PotentialCast.com. We have a Twitter, Twitter.com/PotentialCast. Talk to us. Let us know what you think. And if it's going to be spoilery, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not a good idea. Has there been any bra watch for this episode?
There were no bras to be watched. There was a lot of bralessness.
Sure
again.
Was.
Jeez.
I could say that one effect that potential cast has had on me is that there's a whole new level to my watching.
Looking for bras.
I want to personally thank Gabby for changing the way I watch everything. And everyone.
Yes. I inadvertently the other day was a victim of my own at the grocery store. I didn't realize you could see it through my shirt. awesome.
Yeah, I was a victim too. When Desiree took my picture with David at Reds and Comic Con, there's my big white bra sticking out.
Yeah, before we ever go out, I'm starting to tell Christine, okay, bra watch. Make sure. Okay, we're good. It's quote time. Our guest goes first.
Oh, I don't know which. I've got two favorites, but I know I don't want to take one from everyone.
We got to pick one, then we each get ours done, and then we can do honorable mentions.
Okay, good. I'll go with a beautiful example of Seth Green's comic delivery and timing, which is Xander's. Xander says, you know, we bohemian indie establishment types have always been persecuted. And Oz says, well, sure, you're also weird.
Okay, hey. I'll go.
Oh, okay.
I feel like we should all be wearing trench coats.
Hey, I eat Danger for breakfast. But oddly enough, she panics in the face of breakfast foods.
I need a volunteer to hit Wesley.
Oh, Illyrio! Mochas?
Yes. That's all I got. Oh, I thought you were suggesting. I was
suggesting. Well, that actually is akin to my runner-up, which is Giles turning to Wesley in the car and just offering tea?
Tea. In his thermos. Maybe it has something to do with computers. Thanks. Wait, no homework. What's our homework for next week, Steph?
Next week is the prom.
The prom? Yay! I don't have anything to wear.
Or I cry my eyeballs out.
Aww.
Should we all wear our formal wear to the podcast?
What, you guys aren't already?
You guys aren't wearing formal wear right now?
No, we're getting together next week, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right?
I have to get my hair done.
Did. Oh. You have to get your hair did.
I'll get my hair did.
Get your corsages. Yeah. Book your limousines.
I want a helicopter
I'll certainly pick you up in my helicopter.
Helicopter.
I want a awesome limo that matches my gown.
Totally.
Oh my gosh.
All right, I totally had one.
David, tell us again where people can listen to you. Not being surrounded by insane people like us.
You can listen to me and my co-host Tyler talk about movies every week at BattleshipPretension.com or in iTunes. Or I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/thepretension. And if you really keep up on current television and want to hear me and my co-host Sean review the entire week of television every week, that's at previouslyonshow.com or just previously on in iTunes.
How do you have time to watch all of that TV in 1 week?
I have a time turner.
Ooh, I've heard of those.
That's the.
Or Harry. I will have had heard of those. Well, thanks for joining us, David. We really appreciate it. And will you be back next week for the prom?
Yeah. I mean, awesome. I have to. Yeah, rent my tux. And
rent.
Rent.
I have to rent. Jeez. A tux. Yeah, and you'll have to tell me what you're wearing, Illyrio, so I can get the right colored corsage.
I will wear a peach taffeta.
Spoiler alert.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Just can't go wrong. Now it ain't it, won't really nice.
That's right.
Awesome. Wait, do you guys still do quotes?
Oh, at the end.
At the very end.
After the rating. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't
We do rating,
listen.
We do bra watch.
I do the quotes, I just got the order.
Yeah. We do ratings, we do bra watch, we do...
if there are any bras to be watched.
Feedback mention is after ratings, bra watch, quotes, and then I say something obnoxious. So... I mean more so. How do you spell that?
Did I delete some? Because it seemed like there were some four choices earlier, and now I only see one. Let me check the trash.
Is someone hungry?
What was that? Was that a truck?
Was that a motorcycle?
Did you make a yummy sound?
That was a race car going by.
It's not lasagna night.
No, it's not.
Nice.
I'm surprised you guys can hear all that. I guess it's my microphone's more sensitive than I thought. That's like on the ground floor, and I'm on the 25th floor.
Ooh,
wow. Fancy.
Yes.
Is it a deluxe apartment in the sky?
Oh, hardly. Earthly.